neighborhoods.
I hate the way they portray us in the media. If you see a black family, it says they're looting. See a white family, it says they're looking for food. And you know it's been 5 days because most of the people are black. And even for me to complain about, I would be a hypocrite because I've tried to turn away from the teacher TV because it's too hard to watch. I've even been shopping before even giving a donation. So now I'm calling my business manager right now to see what is the biggest amount I can give. And just to imagine if I was down there, and those are my people down there. So anybody out there that wants to do anything that we can help with the setup, the way America is set up to help the poor, the black people, the less well off as slow as possible. I mean, this is Red Cross is doing everything they can. We already realize a lot of the people that could help are at war right now, fighting another way, and they've given them permission to go down and shoot us. George Bush doesn't care about black people.
I mean, the law.
And so many of the people in the arenas here, you know, we're underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
Country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Friday, September 9th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your WOG global sit rep for the core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can currently get to my live journal by going to Sean, S-E-A-N, underscore Kennedy, like the dead guy, .livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. Let's get straight into some feedback. Got some good feedback here coming back and forth, talking about a number of different things. Right off the top, dear Sean, you cannot fairly judge something by the worst it can be. Humans are savage, yes, but only in the shitty conditions, and it's not really accurate to judge something when all things have gone to shit. In a free society, people do police themselves, but it's not really, I'm going to punish you for what you have done. It's more along the lines of when 95% of the people have guns, it is mighty scary to be a bad guy. In the really real world, there is more good people than bad people. And that was from Mobile Digit. Now, Mobile and I have been throwing emails back and forth, you know, talking about, you know, anarchy versus anything else. And I don't believe that anarchy will work. I believe that any time you bring up anarchy, you're just going to head towards a warlord state. And there's a lot of social scientists who would, you know, disagree with me, and they'll talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Well, the interesting thing here is that people will invariably do what is best for them, always. They will do what they feel to be the most necessary for them, and people will look after themselves and theirs more readily than they will look after anyone else. Compassion is a virtue, to be sure, but unfortunately it's not a very common virtue. So when people say things like humans are savage but only in shitty conditions, well, the world by default is in a shitty condition, and I think it is extremely accurate. As a matter of fact, the only way you can judge something is when all pretensions are gone and you see what their true nature is. In a free, quote-unquote, free society, people do police themselves. This is a statement that has been made. But they police themselves because they're afraid of the alternative. Whether it's not, you know, law enforcement being the ones with the guns or your neighbor being the ones with the guns, the more people you have with power, the more you're going to eventually get warlord states, little cliques. I mean, all you got to do is look at high school and you see those cliques and all these little cliques set up. It's like, it's part of the nature of the beast. Okay. And as for who's a good guy and who's a bad guy, then you runs into the problem of, you know, whose side you're on. Then it talks about vengeance and justice, and it just kind of goes from there. So although, you know, a lot of these guys who talk about anarchy and they say that it's, you know, going to be a good thing, and they talk about enlightened societies, I've heard rumors of enlightened societies, and people have talked about enlightened societies, but I've never ever actually seen an enlightened society, so therefore I do not believe that an enlightened society has ever existed in the history of the world. Therefore, I would put it to you that an enlightened society is always a myth. I mean, where is this enlightened society that people are talking about? There's ideas and concepts which have been, you know, overcome by, like, your general Darwinian sort of logic and evolution here. It just sort of, you know, falls by the wayside because people pass it, move forwards, and progress. And the ones that don't do that, well, I guess that's how we wound up with the situation that we're in today. This is why I'm a big fan of Robert Heinlein. I think that Heinlein should, you know, his whole take on the universe, a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people don't think that a military society is really the way to go. I disagree. I like the idea of a military society. And rather than thinking like Nazi Germany, I'm aiming more towards Starfleet. But, you know, it all depends on how you want to spin this and how you want to try to practice your social sciences to get, you know, the general public opinion on your side. Public opinion, by the way, doesn't mean a thing. That's the other myth as well. It's the illusion of choice, thinking that somebody has a statement. Got another piece of feedback here. Hey, Sean, you know, I have difficulty just outright saying that the cops who didn't show up are bags of shit. This is in reference to the cops in New Orleans, the 200-some-odd cops who didn't show up for work for whatever reason. Okay, they just went, nope, we're not going, we've given up, blah, 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 blah. Who knows? Maybe I'm a bag of shit, but I don't care about any obligations I may have if people in my quote-unquote boat are in danger, meaning his lifeboat in life, blah, blah, blah. Fuck everything else. I'm a sick, selfish prick, but the people I care about need my help. I don't care if 100,000 babies die. I'm helping my comrades. Aha. Granted, if you're not a retard, how long does it really take you to secure your family? Once that's done, showing up for work should be kind of important if you're a cop. And that was from Truth and Honor from Milliken. Now, once again, this illustrates my previous point where, of course, people are going to look after theirs and their own first, as well they should. As well you should. You should look after your family. If you can't look after yourself and you can't look after your family, then what's the point? You know what I mean? This is because there is clearly preference. People will always have preference. You will always choose your wife over anyone else. You will always choose your family over strangers. You will always choose your friends over people you don't know. This is just, you know, the way the world is. If you don't like that, I'm sorry that you feel that way. But, you know, that's just the way it is. Now, granted, the cops down there, you know, it's a difference between, you know, if they were like, no, I got to secure my family, then I'm going to work. That's not what happened there. We're talking about 200 cops that just decided, that's it, I'm not going back. I'm not phoning. I'm not making contact. I'm just going to phone up and say, you know what, I've had it with this shit. I'm done. Bye. Click. Okay? And if you check in the forums and you check online with a lot of people involved in law enforcement, a lot of the New Orleans cops, well, let's just say that New Orleans does not have a very good reputation when it comes to their police force. And the more and more stories that I'm seeing coming out of New Orleans, the more and more I'm not surprised by this. I mean, you're hearing about, you know, people being told to flash them their tits, otherwise they're not getting help, stuff like this. This is all done from the law enforcement community. And once the law enforcement community is corrupted, I mean, it's pretty much got to be cleansed by fire. It's a pretty bad scene once law enforcement gets corrupted. And clearly, New Orleans police force has been shown time and time again to be corrupt. So maybe, just maybe, there may be some silver lining that comes out of this whole deal. But and I have no problems with the cops who just said, I'm going to look after my family, got to make sure they get the safety, blah, 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 blah. Because otherwise, you know, that cop's not going to be able to do his job. He's going to be sitting there worried about his family. Is my kid going to be okay? Blah, blah, blah. So you want to make sure, you know, I could totally understand that. But I'm talking about the cops who just went, fuck it, I'm done. You know, it was nice to be a cop when it was sunny. But now that it's raining, I don't want to be a cop anymore. Those people are six bags of shit and should probably be on criminal charges as far as I'm concerned. Dear Sean, you made the statement multiple times that if God truly does exist, then we have nothing to fear from the sciences, which is true. And apparently you aren't the first person to say that. Well, of course, I'm never the first person to say anything. Most of the things I have come across have come through research. Thomas Aquinas was an Italian Catholic philosopher who lived from sometime to 1225 to 1274. Nice guy. He combined the highly Platonized Plato Christian philosophy that existed at the time and combined it with the teachings of Aristotle, called Thomism. Or Thomism, perhaps. He was careful in maintaining the distinction between philosophy and religion, between reason and faith. For example, as far as rational thought is concerned, the questions of whether the world is a beginning or an end are undecidable. In the case, the truth could lie either way. But he says, as a Christian, he believes the world had a beginning, having been created by a God, and will one day have an end. This is ludicrous. That is completely mudhut thinking, and is not true. I could see humanity may have an end, but this little rock will go spinning through space until the end of whatever, the complete cosmic universe, so we all reunify into an atom or whatever the fuck it is. In order to shorten it a bit, I will condense it here. All knowledge is acquired through sensory perception and then pondered upon within the mind. This is the statement. There is nothing that is in the mind that was not first in the senses. Aquinas holds that the world we gain our knowledge from is God's creation, and therefore it is impossible to the knowledge gained to come into conflict with religious revelation. Now we're getting into some really, you know, kind of circular metaphysical shit here, but that was sent in by Doobie X. Very cool, and I could generally see, you know, how, you know, that's an argument. I don't like getting sucked into metaphysical arguments because I like to deal more with the real world, but that's just me. Moving right along, let's see. Hey, Sean. Just ranting, but in relation to your comments about the UN, the UN is basically the master organization for the worst poverty pimps worldwide. A poverty pimp is any individual organization that perpetuates itself, not by fixing the problem it is supposed to create. If it did, it would nullify its own existence. Okay, I see what you're saying. A poverty pimp is an individual organization that perpetuates itself by not fixing the problem it is supposed to fix in order for it to be created. You see what I'm saying? And then if the UN did fix all the world's problems, the UN would nullify its own existence. And that was sent in by Skin. Now, of course, you know, the UN was just, I think, it's a huge, you know, placebo. It's something that they give to the world to say, oh, see, we're trying to, you know, see the world leaders, there is no Illuminati, it's all the UN, yada, yada, yada. And it's your typical, you know, kind of scarecrow sort of government. It really doesn't do anything. It's never done anything. And essentially, it's a big joke, which is unfortunate, but that's just simply the way it is. On to sort yourself out. Dear Sean, you have convinced me that soon the feces will collide with the motor-driven wind-generating device, a.k.a. the shit hitting the fan. I am tired of politicians on both parties promising everything and delivering nothing. I believe that the New Orleans situation should be a wake-up call to everyone to look out for yourself and the ones you care for because the government won't do it. Well, there's a news flash. That being said, I'm taking your advice and looking into purchasing a few firearms, not weapons. Firearms are only weapons if you use them on people. And wondering what you would recommend as a firearm. While I am not new to firearms, it has been a few years since my Marine Corps training. I'm looking for a handgun and a medium-powered rifle. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Regards from Mainframe. P.S. Do you still hate cat shit more than the Raelians and or Scientologists, or has that order changed? Well, if I had a choice between having a lump of cat shit sitting in my living room or a Raelian or a Scientologist sitting in my living room, that's a tough call. In my order of distaste, it goes something like this. It goes probably Scientology, cat shit, Raelians. You know, so I dislike Scientologists just slightly more than cat shit because they're utterly disgusting and they just cause my nose to bleed. Cat shit, of course, you know, just makes me insane. And then Raelians have slightly more value than cat shit because, well, they're funny. Let's be real. They are fucking hilarious. You can't go wrong with those guys. Now, as to the pistol-rifle combination, a lot of people, and this is really weird. I've noticed this a lot. I get a lot of emails. Some of it I respond to. Some I don't. I just simply can't respond to all emails. If I get an asshat email or an email that I'm not into, or maybe if I'm just too busy, some emails I don't respond to. Or if I get like five emails from one guy, I'll always respond to like one email or whatever. You know, nothing personal there. Don't take it all upset. You know, if I didn't respond, don't think that I think you're an asshat. It's just, you know, the way my life works. Now, I am not, nor do I claim to be, any Arthurian mecha messiah when it comes to gear or equipment, okay? I can only talk about the stuff that I've read and the research that I have done, all right? So, you know, you yourself being in the Marine Corps, you have probably had more training with firearms than I have had. Now, granted, I've been a kind of a little, you know, hobby soldier my entire life. I've been involved with security for most of my adult life. So I understand what you're asking me here. So I just want to preface this by saying that, you know, if somebody else is listening to this and says, oh, that guy's full of shit, la, 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 you know, I've got this. For sure, this is simply my opinion, okay? Now, there's a lot of people that we're talking as of 2005, what I would recommend as a firearm. I would recommend probably probably a 9mm Glock over anything else. I've recently changed my ideas from a 9mm Glock from a 45 Glock. The reason for that is ammo capacity. If you tag somebody once or twice, and also it's a handgun. So, I mean, you probably use a hot load. Use, like, either Black Talon. They changed their name to, like, a Ranger load, I believe is what they're operating at now. So I like the 9mm with a hot 9mm load. Not amazingly hot, nothing crazy, but a good 9mm, I would go with Glock myself personally, but nothing else matters beyond what fits in your hand, you know. So you got to look at, go to rent a bunch of guns, do what I did. Go to our firearms range, rent a bunch of guns, try a bunch of different handguns out. The one that feels best, it works best in your hand, that's the one you use. Period, end of list, okay? That's how that works. But if they all feel the same and you still don't know how to make a decision, my preference would be towards Glock. Technology and all that kind of jazz. Now, for your rifle, if I had to buy one rifle and go tooling out across the after now, so to speak, I would have to say I'd be looking at a Remington Model 700. Why? Well, it's your default. I believe it is still the issued Marine sniping weapon, and if you want to borg it out, there's all kinds of aftermarket kits you can get for it. It's because it's not a semi-automatic, it's a more accurate weapon, and realistically speaking, do you really need to have semi-auto if you're doing survivalist stuff? And I say, no, you do not. You do not. Now, any book, there's a book, a great one, put out by, there's a book called The Ultimate Sniper, which anyone who wants to read, like, for the hardcore survival crowd who wants to know what's involved with doing the sneak and peek stuff and surviving in a total post-apocalyptic world, you want to pick up the book, The Ultimate Sniper. It's a fat read. It'll teach you everything you need to know about shooting and, you know, combine that with some practical application and away and off you go. So, again, my recommendations are a Glock pistol, either a Glock, what is it, a Glock 21 or a Glock 21 or a Glock 31. I shot a Glock 31, I think. God, I'm so bad. But anyway, any of the Glock models are fine. And if you like to go a little bit higher, I'll take capacity for a pistol, only for a pistol, over punch. Me personally now, the rifle I am going to be getting is I'm probably going to be getting an M14 myself. Just because, well, they're legal, they get in this country, so on and so forth. And there's a really sweet stock system I want to pick up for it. But as of right now, I have no firearms. On to an opinion piece. Dear Mr. Ass-Kicking Kennedy. Wow, I'm not really so ass-kicking, but thanks for saying so. I will be moving into dorms soon and better myself as a student of a reputable college. Ooh, good. Nice to have a reputable college. A school has a mandatory meal system for any student living in the dorms, which isn't a big deal in my opinion. It makes food easier to get to. Exactly. Regardless, I'm not sure it will provide enough food for me. Well, I hope you're working out, because if that's not providing enough food, then, you know. Or if I will have to purchase some extra food. Given the fact I'm spending a lot of money on college, I want to minimize my expenditures on food. Do you have any recommendations of extremely cheap food that keeps the hardcore student working? Well, yeah, there's the whole wog food thing. Red beans and rice, vegetarian dishes, very, very inexpensive. The more calories per dollar, the better. And health is not really an issue for this particular food. My nutritional value of vitamins, antioxidants, etc. will be handled by my multivitamin and mandatory school meals, I hope. Keep up the most excellent broadcast. I'm practically desperate to see season 2 of Patrolling. That is from Resonant. Okay, now, on your letter here, the more calories per dollar, the better. Health is not really an issue for this particular food or my nutritional value. I disagree. Your health is the issue. If you start eating junk food, all you're going to do is pump your body full of excitotoxins. So you know what? Get used to the idea of eating healthy food, because if you just put crap into your body, all it's going to do is fuck with your head. So absolutely focus more on the healthy food. Look into cooking, inexpensive cooking. And if not, you're going to need to educate yourself, because if you're going to be doing the meal line thing at the mess hall, you want to make sure you're eating, healthy food. You don't want to be loading up on the grease and all the rest of it. And I also noticed you didn't tell me anything about your exercise program, which is number one, first and foremost, you got to be working out. You know, even if you just go to the pool and try to kill yourself once a week swimming back and forth. And incidentally, I found that for people starting out, sometimes working out really, really hard once a week is a nice way to kind of get the body used to it. And then you can slow down over time. But, that's kind of a really backwards way of doing it. It seems to work for me. I don't know how good that is. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of emails saying I'm an idiot for saying that. But there you go. Now, on to the news. In off-world news, Space entrepreneurs eyeing Mars as a hub of some future solar system economy launched a startup on Tuesday to mine the red planet for building materials. Now, this is kind of a far-off shot, but, you know, hey, I'll take hope any way I can find it. The new company, Four Frontiers, plans to mine Mars for building materials and energy sources and export the planet's mineral wealth to the forthcoming space stations and the moon and elsewhere. Okay, then. The company also wants to build the first permanent human settlement on Mars using strictly Martian materials as early as 2025. I'd like to see your science. The idea is to make Mars a center for needs of the solar system economy, says Bruce McKenzie, co-founder of 4F Frontiers, the company's vice president and outreach director. Mars happens to be a good place for these crucial minerals. You have them all in one spot. Yes, and it only takes about 8 months to get to and from. Carbon, nitrogen, and hydrogen are all scarce on the moon, but readily available on Mars, says Joseph Paglia, 4F Frontiers, other co-founder and vice president of operations and research and development. And while oxygen is available in both locations, it's easier to extract on Mars, he said. 4 Frontiers, the four being Earth, Moon, Mars, and main asteroid belt, will be ready in 2025 with the tools that space explorers will need to colonize the solar system, said Bruce Marino, consultant to the company. What makes this group so unique is it's all about getting on the surface of Mars and making the settlement, said Marino. We're ready to set up shop just as soon as we can get to the surface. Marino was director of science and research at Biosphere 2, an enclosed ecosystem to model extraterrestrial settlements. The experimental facility in Arizona is now on the block. Interesting. So there's a biosphere ecosystem company that is available on the block in the States. Well, isn't that groovy? Maybe all of us WOG should pitch in a couple bucks and buy that sucker, huh? Wouldn't that be nice? The nice WOG broadcasting biosphere. Creepy. In cyber fake news, internet giant Yahoo has been accused of supplying information to China, which led to the jailing of a journalist for divulging state secrets. This is not so cool. Reporters Without Borders said Yahoo's Hong Kong arm helped China link Xin Tao's email account and computer to a message containing the information. The media watchdog accused Yahoo of becoming a police informant in order to further its business ambitions. And honestly, are you really surprised by this? I mean, you know, these Yahoo's major function is to make money, and I can see why, you know, they would do that just to, you know, make a couple of extra bucks. Is it all that surprising? I say no. It's really not all that surprising at all. A Yahoo spokeswoman said it had to operate within each country's laws. Isn't that convenient? Just like any other global company, Yahoo must ensure that its country sites must operate within the laws, regulation, and customs in which the country they are based, said Mario Sacco. Xin Tao, 37, worked for Contemporary Business and News in the Hunan province before he was arrested and sentenced in April to 10 years in a Chinese prison. According to translations of his conviction, reproduced by Reporters Without Borders, he was found guilty of sending foreign-based websites the text of an internal Communist Party message. You get 10 years in the Chinese prison. Isn't that shitty? Reporters Without Borders said the message warned journalists of the dangers of social unrest resulting from the return of dissidents on the 15th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre in June of 2004. I wonder how long it's going to be before we start getting rid of the term, extremists and terrorists and start using words like insurgents and dissidents. I wonder how long that's going to be before that happens inside the United States. And don't get your hopes up, but it looks like we may have a new war on the front. New war news. Core War Jack sent me this story. Very, very interesting. A Russian journalist, Sorcha Fail, wrote about how the Russian military analysts are reporting just the other day that a significant portion of the U.S. Navy armada that was heading towards their country's devastated southern regions have turned towards South America. Reports state a planned invasion of Venezuela to overthrow its president and reassert control over Venezuela's vast oil reserves. Does this sound likely? I mean, would you be surprised by it? The Venezuelan president, having been notified of the most troubling development, has ordered his military forces to be on top alert and has vowed a 100-year war against the military leaders of the United States. That's a really good way to get yourself killed. As a report by the Miami Herald News Service in an article entitled Chavez, U.S. NATO Planning an Attack, Venezuela has uncovered plans for a NATO-U.S.-led invasion into its preparing to defend its country against invading forces if necessary. President Hugo Chavez said, "We discovered, through intelligence works, a military exercise that NATO has for invasion against Venezuela. We are preparing ourselves for that invasion." Isn't that nasty? So the United States, I mean, does this, I mean, all, it does seem that there does seem to be motive there. They're going to definitely want to hit Venezuela now. This expense in New Orleans is going to cost big bucks. They can't keep running the war in Iraq. So, yeah, this looks very, very likely, and I'd like to be one of the first guys coming out and saying it. Chavez was quoted as saying late Friday night that the military exercise known as Plan Balboa includes rehearsing simultaneous assaults by sea, air, and land at its military base in Spain, involving troops from the United States and NATO countries. U.S. officials in the past have said such training is meant to prepare troops for general scenarios, but is not for a specific military action. If it occurs, if to the United States to invade our country, Fidel Castro said it, and I agree, a war will start here to last 100 years, Chavez added. Not only this country would be burned up, but a good part of this continent. They should make any mistake about it, we are preparing to repel an invasion. Prior to the cataclysmic Hurricane Katrina that hit the southern regions of the United States last week, U.S. military leaders have been preparing for the invasion by stationing one of their feared carrier strike forces off the shores of Venezuela. As reported by China's Xinhua News Service, U.S. aircraft carrier docked nearby poses no threat, Venezuela. It says the U.S. aircraft carrier with 1,500 Marines on board, which docked last Friday on the island of Curaco, North Venezuela, did not pose a threat to the country. Not directly. Defense Minister Orlando Manigla said Monday, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez termed the presence of the march of the U.S. aircraft carrier in Curaco as an act of provocation. But the United States ambassador to Venezuela, William Brownfield, later said the tension was only generated by a lack of communication. So what's the call here? What's the call here, Shano? You know, I mean, if they decide to invade Venezuela, is that bad or is that good? Well, of course, it's invasion, isn't it? It's invasion, isn't it? I mean, any country that invades another country is doing a bad thing, right? That's how that works. That's the person who starts the war, so to speak. Well, gotta tell you, I would see why they do it from a tactical standpoint. I'm afraid that they are going to do it, and what I think of that invasion is really, it doesn't matter what I think of the invasion at all, even on the slightest front. I'll tell you what I think will happen with that if I put on my after-now glasses and have a look at this. Here's what's going to happen. If they are going to do it, they're going to hit with shocking force. They're going to completely dominate. They will totally and completely destroy the army, and they will completely destroy the intelligence circles. We're talking about hardcore assassination. They'll probably try to blame the whole thing as a terrorist strike. They could go in there and claim that insurgents, they'll send in black ops, they'll do a bunch of damage, and then claim that they're rescuing Venezuela. Or they could just go in and say, we're taking the oil. And, yeah, it's bad. Yeah, it's wrong. We don't care. We need the oil. And the way they'll placate the American public is by driving down the oil prices and the gas prices. That's how they'll try to do it. And they've already got them artificially inflated, so it's a pretty easy way to say, do you like having your cheap gas? Well, if you like having the cheap gas, you better get on board. You know what I mean? And honestly, how many people would go for that? How many people would say, yeah, okay, well, whatever. You know, we'll invade another country. You know, the might makes right, right? So why not do that? Well, you know, it's going to get really tight, I'm here to tell you. And with this is all about the oil. That's why everyone's doing it. They invaded Iraq for oil. They've invaded Saudi Arabia for oil. They've realized that's a bad call. And the only way that they're going to be able to control this oil in Venezuela is going to be fighting a war of almost extermination or annihilation. And that's unfortunate. That's really, really bad. And I'll have to say that, it's super shitty. I don't know what to say about this. There's no winning here at all. To be honest with you, I don't think there's any stopping it either. Now on to some mud hot news from Desert Runner. A man who was shot 5 times in the head at close range in an execution plotted by a group of heavily armed Muslims who wanted him to convert to Islam, a court was told yesterday. Was this in some Middle Eastern country? No, 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 no. This is, I believe this happened in London. Adrian Marriott, 21, and his sister Tara and her friend had been targeted by Marcus Archer and Marcus Stubbs, who were said to have a missionary zeal for converting people to Islam, the Old Bailey paper was told. The women agreed to become Muslims, made a declaration of faith, and were given hijabs, or headscarves, the jury was told. But Mr. Marriott from Brixton, South London, had fallen out with the men, claiming to have been threatened with a gun by them and had £500 demanded, it was said. Tension between Mr. Marriott and Mr. Archer and Mr. Stubbs had come to a head on June 8th when Mr. Archer was accosted by Marriott and another man at London Borough Junction Station. Christopher Kinch, QC for the prosecution, said it was the Crown, a conspiracy that is an agreement to shoot Adrian Marriott dead, Mr. Kinch said. Mr. Archer from Southeast London and Mr. Studs and another man, Aaron Irving Simpson, all who are 24 years of age, deny conspiracy to murder. The trial continues. Isn't that interesting? Now, I'll note that you don't get a lot of even the right-wing radical Christian crowd. They don't actually threaten to shoot you in the head if you don't convert to Christianity. So, you know, rapidly in the realm of religions that have pissed me off recently, Islam is actually surpassing, the Christian faith as a religion that's really pissing me off. I mean, where is this? Now, that said, though, you do get some really psycho Christians out there. And maybe it's just because Islam is like Muslims are generally on the, sort of in the headlines right now because of world tensions and all the rest of it. But I'd have to say that some of this stuff going on with, the whole Muslim thing is starting to really get to me. The other thing that gets me is the whole concept of Islamic law. That's just fucked up. Like, there's no way we should have Islamic law. Islam isn't law. Islam is a religion. It's a belief system. And isn't it nice that, you know, all these wonderful people want to believe in this mud hut faith and pray to a rock? That's fantastic. Good for you. Fill your boots with that. Some people watch Friends. Other people play golf. Me personally, I'm not into praying to rocks, don't watch television, and hate fucking golf. So, you know. I mean, you do what you want to do, but don't go come talking to me. Having Islamic law in your country makes about as much sense as trying to, use referees from hockey to, you know, determine justice in a court system. That's just absolutely ludicrous as far as I'm concerned. Now, on to some consumer news. New research from the University of Alberta, good Canadian kids, reveals just how self-conscious and easily influenced consumers can be. Reports like this really, really freak me out because I notice how impartial they are towards human beings. Through a series of carefully controlled experiments at a campus bookstore, researchers learned that consumers will, in every case studied, spend more money to buy a brand item when someone they don't know is standing near them near them at the time they choose to purchase. Consumers also tend to spend more money when a group of people standing near them but are more inclined to buy cheaper items when no one is near, because people want to be perceived as being more wealthy. We were shocked to find that the mere social pressure, presence of another shopper, apparently has a huge effect on consumer behavior, said Dr. Jennifer Argo, market-face professor at the U of A School Business, with lead author business and a lead author of a study which is published in September 2005 edition of the Journal of Consumer Research. Now, the fact that there is a Journal of Consumer Research, I suppose I shouldn't be surprised by that, because this is just the gradual core political takeover of science. But, you know, for her study, Argo hired students to go to campus bookstores to purchase batteries and Argo items neutral because no one will likely see you use it other than the time you buy it, blah, 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 blah. It goes on here. But this just, you know, it kind of freaks me out that there's so much consumer research. And realistically, what is this? This is nothing more than an elaborate method of mind control being applied to everyday people. Kind of a trip, don't you think? Now, in Shadowrun news, now this is an interesting story. There's more and more core political Shadowruns happening. An Ohio computer hacker who served as a digital button man. Jesus, I imagine he's making fun of the digital trigger man. Digital button man? Good God, you know, these writers need to get, like, read some cyberpunk or something, okay? But anyway, he served apparently as a digital button man for a shady internet hosting company, faces prison time after admitting he carried out a series of crippling denial-of-service attacks ordered by a wealthy businessman against his competitors. Full-on Black Ice Shadowrun deal. In a deal with prosecution, Richard Crashed Robbie, who's 20 years old, just a kid, pleaded guilty in federal court in Toledo last month to intentionally damaging a protected computer after launching a 2003 attack on an online satellite TV retailer that caused at least $120,000 in losses. I'm not even going to address how they came to that conclusion, but whatever. There are a lot of big-time people making a lot of money who picked up on him and persuaded him to do this without a lot in it for him, says Mark Weinberg, Robbie's attorney. He's one of these people who's brilliant in one area, but absolutely lacking in the common sense in others. So he's really, I mean, he's kind of a victim here from the sound of it. He was left holding the bag, absolutely. I hope they crucify the guys who hired him. Jay Enchufani, the 38-year-old satellite TV mogul who allegedly ordered and funded the cyber hits, went on the lam last year and remains a fugitive from federal indictment out of Los Angeles. So now he's on the run. In a related deal, 31-year-old Paul Ashley, former operator of the FooNet hosting service, admitted to recruiting three other computer intruders to carry out Enchufani's orders. He has not yet entered a guilty plea. Under federal sentencing guidelines, Ashley faces 70 to 87 months in prison for his role in attacks. But the terms of his plea agreement make him eligible for a reduced sentence in exchange for his testimony against other defendants. If Ashley were to cooperate with the government and, for example, testify against Enchufani, I guess that's how you say his name, he could get a departure from his sentence, said Los Angeles Assistant U.S. James Aquilina, who's prosecuting the case. Robbie faces 18 months to 2 years in prison under sentencing guidelines. Now, I don't think that he'll actually serve jail time. It sounds like he's rolled over pretty hard. Until it was shuttered by an FBI raid last year, Ashley ran FooNet from a basement server room in his suburban Ohio home. The enterprise enjoyed a double-edged reputation for providing hosting that could stand up to distributed denial of service or DDoS attacks, even as it gave safe harbor to members of Computer Underground drawn to the bulletproof service. Every script kiddie on the IRC had a shell there, said Andrew Kirch, a security administrator for abusive host blocking list. Spamming, hacking, phishing, DDoS networks, you run around scams from a large amount of IP space for a prevalent Windows vulnerabilities, set up there. So apparently that's been taken offline, but this is all funded, once again, by corporations, because, you know, that's just the way the world is. The Disney thing just doesn't seem to really exist in the really real world. Sorry to pop the bubble. Now, in homeless terrorist news, it seems that bums now are terrorists. How's this for spin? Wait out on this one here. In a new warning being circulated by the federal employees in Washington, it is being advised that terrorists could be posing as homeless vagrants. It is said that in Washington and other urban cities, vagrants and homeless people are less scrutinized as they wander the cities, alleys, and trains, providing an effective form of cover for terrorists wishing to scout out potential targets. Right. The warning is similar to one issued by the FBI before July 4, 2004, saying that terrorists may attempt surveillance disguised as homeless people, shoe shiners, street vendors, or street sweepers. The email stresses that there is no threat of an attack, and it is intended to be an informative, not alarming. Homeless people easily blend into an urban landscape, the message said. This is particularly true of our mass transit systems, where homeless people tend to loiter unnoticed, the email said. It refers to a recent incident in Somerville, Massachusetts, in which police officers became suspicious about someone dressed as a street person. May not be a street person, was dressed as a street person. The officer questioned the man, discovered he had a passport from the country of interest, typically Middle Eastern or Southern Asian, and a checkbook with a questionable address, the email said. The investigation was continuing, it said. So, you know, we have absolutely no proof that this is actually true, but, you know, this is where they're at. Now, how's this for coming on from across the wire? This was an article by Kurt Nimono from September 7th, all right? But this, I think, is probably legit. It smells right, and the spider sense says that this could be the way to go. Okay, now this is from some seriously, seriously left-wing press, but here we go. It's no secret that the Free Republic site is a forum set up for right-wing nuts, racists, who think that Bush is not tough enough on the enemies of the fascist state they feverishly envision. Now, I've never been to Free Republic, so I don't know what it's about, and I don't not make any comment. This is directly from this article. Quote, they should change the name from New Orleans to New Mogadishu, opines one racist crackpot. Quote, time to take out the trash, end quote. Blathers another after a rumor about Delta Force operators, i.e. professional killers and sadists, dropped into New Orleans, circulated on the site. Family members have just received a phone call from a brother on the team. Another comments adding credence to the assertion. Hope we get some pics of this, he posts later. Hey, maybe if Delta Force wipes out the scum, there will be less people living off of taxpayers' dollars, end quote. Now, I'm not even going to address the issue of saying that Delta Force are professional killers and sadists. I would say that, yeah, they are professional killers. That's their job. Whether or not they're sadists, I don't know if I'd go with that. I'd say that they're probably not sadists, and this guy is just as bad as all the other nuts. Overt racism and classism aside, and incidentally, I would like to now state that political correctness is really pissing me off, and disregarding for the puerile absurdity of comparing the dehydrated and starving largely unnamed citizens of New Orleans to East African Muslims who killed 19 American soldiers on October 3rd, 1993, the rumor that Delta Force killers were dropped into New Orleans makes perfect sense, especially if New Orleans is to serve as an incubator for police state tactics to come. Total information website comments. On Thursday, there was a report on the net Delta Force had dropped into New Orleans. This is about the time the website noticed a couple of helicopters full of unidentified troops being dropped off the helipad at the Superdome. If the Delta Force story is true, and even if Army Times say forces are engaging in combat in New Orleans, on another special ops force we dropped into New Orleans, they would be well-placed for provocaturing more than anything else. Now, this is just bullshit. Such as laying down sniper fire on boats and evacuating patients from a hospital or setting fires or sniping at firefighters. Now, my whole comment here would be, why would Delta Force snipe at firefighters and rescuing evacuees? They would not. Okay, that's completely left-wing bullshit. That's totally insane. You see, the left-wing people out there in the world who go so far off the deep end, they seem to be of the opinion that these military operators are the Prince of Darkness. You know, like they get up in the morning and they do their exercising, planning on killing fellow Americans. That's just simply not the case. It's ludicrous and really quite insulting. Okay, what I would say is more likely here is the fact that they dropped Delta off to go in there to try to control some of the looting and the crime. And they did this under, you know, as a military operation. And to be honest with you, I could see why they do that. If you've got guys, you know, you've got people raping people on the highways, you've got people rampant looting and mugging and, you know, violent crime and all the rest of it, I could see why they dropped Delta in to take out some of these guys who are running around killing people. I could see that, but it's interesting, you know, the angle they spin on it, where now they're saying, no, Delta is the one shooting at all the rescue workers, which, you know, a lot of these Delta guys don't have to be Delta guys. A lot of these Delta guys could just quit Delta Force, because once you're in Delta Force, well, you're pretty much at the top of the game. They could just quit Delta and go work for some PMC and go to Iraq and make themselves sick-ass money. You know, and I'm pretty sure that the guys who are in Delta are pretty much into the whole We Like Americans thing. You know, they kind of wrap themselves in the flag pretty tight. So the concept of geeking Americans, you know, it just doesn't seem to work with me that well, unless, of course, they're criminals. And people are like, oh, yeah, it's because they're black. Well, I hate to tell you this, but there's a lot of Delta Force members that are black. So, you know, please, you know, get out of this hoo-ha syndrome, meaning head up ass, that a lot of the hardcore left-wing nuts seem to be going with. I mean, I don't particularly consider myself to be incredibly right-wing, but I'm a little bit more centralist and logical, and it just doesn't seem... I would believe that Delta Force dropped in there, but to say that they dropped in there to shoot, you know, firefighters and shit is absolutely ridiculous, because I'd like to see the order, the O group, that where they explain to the Delta Force guys that they're going to start shooting fucking cops and rescue workers. Not going to happen. Now, in angry planet news, after the destructive Katrina hurricane hit the southern states of the USA, natural disasters are watched with close attention. One such example is the Nabi typhoon, which literally means butterfly in Japanese, that hit Japan at first and is now posing a threat to the Russian coastline. Did you hear about this? The aftermath of the typhoon that hit the southern Japanese islands is as follows. 7 people were killed, 81 from injured, and 13 are missing. 30 3,000 houses were damaged. More than 110,000 people were evacuated from Koyu Island. Many of them had to be forced to leave their homes. As a spokesman for the police department reported on Tuesday, the typhoon greatly hampered communication with the south of Japan. 452 domestic flights were canceled. Ferry communications between Japanese islands and South Korea is shut off. Freeway traffic to the country's south was stopped. Shinkansen high-speed trains do not run at the moment. More than 300,000 houses on Kyushu Island were left without energy because of the broken wires. Many of the enterprises stopped functioning for security reasons. The shipment of oil products has also stopped. This is yet another example of how global warming is completely fucking over the planet. I don't understand why no one else is drawing this, you know, direct correlation. But there it is. You know what I mean? You know, it's quite obvious that global warming is responsible for most of these problems, but I guess other people don't seem to see that for whatever reason. I don't know why. Now, in culture vulture news, I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with reporters, which is kind of ironic when you consider what I am. But anyway, Reporters Without Borders voiced concern today about police violence against journalists covering the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. Now, this can be spun any which way but loose, especially about attacks on reporters and photographers that took place on 1 September. We understand that security forces are overwhelmed, and we are aware of the great tension and the difficult conditions on which they are having to work in areas hit by Katrina. But it is very worrying that this is reflected in violence against journalism, the Press Freedom Organization said. We believe that it is essential that news coverage should be completely free and unobstructed in such a serious situation, Reporters Without Borders added. It's nice that you believe that. Reporter Tim Harper and photographer Lucas Ulnick of the Canadian Toronto Star Daily were victims of police violence while covering a clash between police and looters. The police threatened them several times at gunpoint, and when they realized Ulnick had photographed them hitting the looters, they hurled him to the ground, grabbed his two cameras, and removed memory cards containing around 350 pictures. His press card was also torn from him. When he was asked to take his pictures back, the police insulted him and threatened to hit him. Well, yeah, that would be wrong. I mean, wrong is wrong, and that would be wrong. If they were operating professionally, I imagine that that wouldn't be the case. The cops, of course, are used to being vilified in the press constantly. So I understand what, like, let's say if he'd kept those photos, you suppose the cops would have been portrayed in a positive or a negative light? Well, clearly they would have been portrayed in a negative light because they were beating on looters, right? What are you supposed to do with looters? Are you supposed to arrest everyone? Well, you can't really arrest these people because you haven't got the method to actually contain, control, transport them in incarceration and all the rest of it. So what do you do? Right? Not saying that they should have attacked the cop, but I can understand why the cops would be beating on the looters. I can see that. Harper said in a report about the police violence that the Toronto Star that, given the situation in New Orleans, there was no doubt that the police saw journalists as an obstacle in their efforts to regain control of the city. The second incident involved Gordon Russell of New Orleans-based Times-Picayune Daily as he was covering a shootout between police and local residents near a convention center where hurricane victims were waiting evacuation. The police detained Russell and smashed all of his equipment on the ground. Russell was forced to flee to avoid further violence and reportedly left the city the same day. Now, this one here where they're covering a shootout, that's messed up. I mean, this is just... There's definitely a breakdown in command and control going on here, and that's being reported by the press, and it's unfortunate that that is happening, and it does need to be stopped. It is important that we have transparency. It is important that, you know, the cops are accountable for their actions. That is important. But, you know, it's a bad scene, you know, and it's unfortunate that that is what is happening in New Orleans right now. It's just a bad, bad scene. And easily, what they did there, make no mistake, I understand why they did it, but it is still wrong, and they do still need to answer for it. Now, moving into booster news, check this story out. This is kind of cool. Examples from nature suggest there may be no limit on human longevity. Now, this is one biologist saying this, but very, very interesting stuff. The existence of millennia-old trees and 140-year-old fish suggests that there's no firm limit to lifespan built into the human genome, concludes a biologist and gerontologist Dr. Caleb Finch of the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. In his report in the July issue of Journal of Gerontology, Finch calls the creation of a longevity research tissue bank built to house the DNA of some of the world's oldest plants and animals. These samples could be used to research anti-aging mechanisms. Of course, the big problem with anti-aging now is the brain. They're having a hard time figuring out how they're going to get the brain to work. The record for a documented human lifespan, this is documented now, is 122.4 years, achieved by a French woman, Jeanne Clément, who died in 1997. However, this advanced age pales in comparison to that of the world's oldest living organism, a 4,862-year-old bristlecone pine found in the high Nevada mountains of the western United States. Finch adds that certain animals, including the rockfish of the Northwest Pacific or the orange ruffy found in the Southern Oceans, roughly achieve lifespans of 140 years or more. There's also noted that there's lots of animals they don't even know how old they are in the ocean. So it's kind of an interesting issue when you consider just how long things can really live. He points out that humans reach extreme old age. Physiological vitality of early years becomes a distant energy, and they exist in a very fragile state, meaning that as you get older, you can't do shit, and you just kind of exist. This is because human life, like that of most mammals, follows a pattern of gradual senescence, the switching off of reproductive ability in midlife, followed by a slow but steady decline in physical and mental function. Ah, scary stuff. Nobody wants that. That's why we need the drugs and technology to make us be better, stronger, faster, and all that good shit. However, the bristlecone pine, the rockfish, and other long-lived species do not follow this pattern. Interesting. Finch says researchers have noted an absence of age changes the sexual reproduction in trees by 700 to 4,000 years, as judged by the laboratory by pollen germination, by seed weight, and by seeding growth rates. It goes on to cover a lot more of the technical issues regarded to that. Now, of course, I'm all for longer life expectancy, but again, who do you think is going to be the ones who can afford that? Well, it'll be the rich people, and that's why you need to consider where your finances are going. Today's daily hack is something to help out with the gas crisis. Let's look at hydrogen kits, and maybe we wouldn't have to invade Venezuela then, hey? Maybe we should not invade other countries and try to do stuff with fuel. But unfortunately, I am very concerned about this Venezuelan situation. Today's daily hack, of course, is some hydrogen kits. United Nuclear is currently on its final testing phase. And will shortly be producing, not available yet, but hydrogen fuel system conversion kits and hydrogen generators for several late model fuel injection gasoline powered vehicles. Very sexy. We need to follow this. And that's all I have for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow. Or actually, I'll be back on Monday with Sim to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 66 people for the month of August. Thank you so much to everyone for your donations. And if you would like to help keep this daily broadcast on the air, please, please, please visit rammedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Upcoming events, I got not much for you, but I think a major upcoming event is probably going to be a war with Venezuela. And thanks again to everyone in their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by X Marks the Petawak called Abattoir. And I'm going to leave you now with a track by Public Enemy called Plastic Nation. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I need liposuction. Under my chin, well, everywhere. I hate the bump on my nose. I hate my breasts. And my stomach has stretch marks. They make me sick. I'd like those to go away. Been saving up my money for
this. When she tried to get her face erased like it was commonplace. Maybe just crazy because the doctor said she could. With new hips and tits, maybe full of lips. All it take a day is a pay for the tuck and nip. All the hoover would move her. By the time it was through her, whole body would look the way she thought it should. Let's take a splatter of fat and move from this to that. Like Frankenstein, but blind because it's in her mind. Don't know what she felt or why she hated herself. Maybe dolls or shows or maybe videos. Now it's plain to see the girl loves TV because she's chasing a dream we know can never be. It's all part of the plan to keep her looking right. Thinking she could be Janet if she took the knife. It's not a sin to be fancy, trying hard to fit in. Knowing soon she'll be a citizen of the plastic nation.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my face.
And I want to change my body.
I want to change my body.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my face.
It would be so. It would
wait.
Be so.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my face.
And I want to change my body.
I want to change my body.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my face.
It would be so
great.
Now she was more crazy than lazy since she had a baby. Trying to move and improve upon what God gave her. God just gave like this one, she thought she had it going on, but never once thought it was wrong or that it wouldn't save her. Went to the clinic, was in there for over half a day. As they sliced and diced to put the parts in place, her body bruised, abused, cause her mind's confused. Been on living a lie, but never satisfied. And you know it ain't right, that's somebody's daughter. Now her face is so tight that you could bounce a quarter. And the feeling they back, they said it'll never be back. She's a creature with features broken out of order. That's why we try to find a way to get inside and make you love your life and never need a knife. It's not a sin to be thin, don't need to bleed to fit in. Now she's another citizen of the plastic nation.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my faith.
And I want to change my body.
I want to change my body.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my faith.
It would be so... It would
Wait.
Be so...
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my faith.
And I want to change my body.
I want to change my body.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
I want to change my faith.
It would be so... Great. So... My liposuction.
I'd like bigger calves.
I need liposuction.
And I'd also like to go pee see cats.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
Maybe I could have her ear. Maybe I could have her ear. And I like her nose.
Tell me what you don't like about yourself.
Because they don't stick out like ours, do they?